What a song for the slaves in Egypt. A few notes before we begin today. Just a reminder about Miriam singing her song of praise, that we're free, and Marty and I went into the library and found some very, very obscure texts from the one part of the book of Leviticus and found out she did jump on a tambourine, and also very specific laws. A different Levite every day got to jump, and he had to be the tribe of Levi, and also to touch the holy trampoline, you had to be a Levite, and it was carried through the wilderness just behind the Ark of the Covenant. Am I right? Did I get that right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, and we also found this. So just each time I jump, say, we're free. We're free.
We're free. We're free. We're free.
Who wants to play Miriam tomorrow? Do I have a...
In Psalm 150, there was a mistake. The original translation was play before the Lord on trampolines.
Yeah, that was a mistake. Yes. Psalm
150.
150. Great. Okay.
Or 151.
A word about Miriam. We know from the book of Micah that she was placed with Aaron and Moses as leaders of the people. And I heard a marvelous lecture once by Phyllis Tribble on Miriam. And in the book of Numbers, Miriam is discredited. And she is accused of disobeying. And she has leprosy. And after this discrediting of Miriam, not another word is said about her in the story. Now, Mary is the Greek for the Hebrew name Miriam, which I believe means like sorrow. And some would say that in the New Testament, we have the resurrection of Miriam. Because think of all the Miriams, all the Marys, Mary the mother of Jesus, Mary Magdalene, Mary Magdalene at the tomb, the Marys who were there at the tomb, Mary of Mary and Martha, that Miriam, after being discredited, rises again in the story of Jesus. So I love Miriam. So now, a few instructions for today. If you have the gather, then you have a sheet that says Abundant Life. Open the gather to 571. And then in 571, put this sheet, okay? And then you can close the book. And the first song we will sing is Abundant Life. Is that? Yeah, the Covenant Hymn, 571. And if you could remember this, that we will sing 1, 3, and 5. To be sure you remember which hymn is first, 571. Okay. And how many, which verses will we sing?
1, 3, 5.
Good. Okay, then when we sing Abundant Life, you will know that later. Then Marty will sing the first stanza as a solo, and then we'll sing stanza 2 and 3. You got have that? Okay. I wanted to share something about where we left yesterday with the Egypt mind and the 40 years of wilderness school now that the Egypt mind may be taken out. and replaced with God's mind and God's way. The early church knew this. In early Christian baptism, second, third, early fourth century, baptism instruction, which was mostly the Christian way of life, lasted often for 3 years, then 40 days of Lent. And again, if we would ask them the reason, it would probably be this. Also, there were numerous exorcisms to drive the powers of evil out of your heart and out of your mind. And it would have been very similar to the 40 years in the wilderness, that you come towards the water of baptism with a Roman mind, with the mind of the empire, and then the 3 years of learning the new way that you will be baptized into. In contemporary times, William Willimon calls preparation for baptism as detoxification. You like that? Detoxification. Now let us go to the wilderness school. Yahweh, God, is the teacher. Miriam, Moses, and Aaron, the associates. And early in the life of the school, there is a teachable moment. Now, I could ask you who teach here, do you have that moment when a teachable time comes and you leave the lesson plan? Is that, could some teacher just kind of nod? And it's part of being a teacher is being sensitive when that teachable moment comes. Well, now it comes in the wilderness school, and the teachable moment comes 2.5 months after the Exodus, and the food is running out. And what happens when food is running out? People become crabby. Crabby. And they cried out against Moses and their leaders. If we're going to die, why didn't we just die back in Egypt? Or we had all this food and we were right next to the flesh pots of Egypt. Why not die there? Why did you take us out into this wilderness to die? And then Yahweh's response, every morning, it'll be like dew on the ground, and that dew will evaporate and leave what is called manna. And the people ask, what is it? And it's very interesting, this might be biblical humor, but the word manna means, what is it? So they asked, what is it? And the answer was, what is it? And now in the way that God pours out the abundant manna on the people, and the way they learn to distribute it, the way they learn to receive its abundance is the teaching of the wilderness school. The larger clans take more manna because they have more to feed. The smaller clans, less manna. They have fewer people to feed. And all have enough. No one has too much. No one has too little. The next teachable moment is when the original midnight snackers appear. These are the people that say, well, maybe we can't trust God for food for tonight or tomorrow. I'll keep some, and make a little pile of manna in their tent. And God says, I have a way to teach them. And it rots, and it smells, and it stinks. And the people, the manna hoarders, stick their heads out of the tents, and they say, ufta. And they learn that piling up what God gives, making my manna pile higher and higher, brings decay and death to the society. And then in the wilderness school, they learn Sabbath, that God pours out enough without your working all of the time. And then Sabbath is to do what life is really about, which work sustains, and that is friendship with God and with each other and with creation. That's what life is about. And one day a week, you get to do that full time. Wow. And so God dreams of a people, when they become landed, will live with wilderness minds. But God wonders, is it enough to just teach them? Is it enough just to go to school? And then Yahweh has this idea, I will bind myself to them in covenant. It'll be like a wedding. We'll be partners and lovers. We'll make promises to each other. We'll be partners forever. And the great ceremony of covenant happens at a mountain called Sinai. And what a covenant ceremony. Lightning and thunder and smoke and trumpet sounds. Warnings about the holiness of God, cleansing rituals, and then the covenant is completed. Yahweh promises, I will be this people's God. And in deep gratitude, the people will love God and will love God alone. And in the covenant, God will tenderly care for this people. And God will follow them wherever they go.
Thank you.
Oh, what a covenant ceremony. That precious gift that the partners give to one another. And God gives the people a beautiful covenant gift. It's called the covenant word, or the Torah. I like to think of it as a present, and you pull the strings, open the box, and there's a sign on the top of stone tablets. And they say, here is the gift of a beautiful way of life. It is the way of shalom. The gift is a Decalogue, the blessed way of the loving God, to love God and neighbor. The gift is the expansive description of how they will be manna people when they are landed. And in the wilderness school, they study the covenant gift. They learn about the tithe to remind themselves day after day that all is God's and all belongs to God. We own nothing. They learn in the wilderness school mercy, care for the poor and the widows, the orphans, the aliens, the sojourners, the priests. They learn about how to harvest in the way of the wilderness manna, for their fields will be the manna of God, sufficient enough for everyone. So they learn to never cut the wheat up to the wall, but to leave some for the widow and the orphan and the sojourner, so God may give to all. They learn about caring for their animals. They learn not to muzzle the ox that treads on the grain. For God says, I give them manna too, and they will eat. And they learn more about the joy of Sabbath, the joy of dancing and savoring friendship with God and others in creation. And they learn that there will not only be a Sabbath day, but a Sabbath year, when everyone gets to take off from work for 1 year, except for a few women probably that have to cook. But a year of rest, and the animals rest for a year, and the land rests for a year. And God says, trust me, I will provide. Take the year off. And then during that year, if you have fallen into slavery, you are freed and given help to begin again. And in that year, debts are forgiven, and you get to start again, that there never will be a society of those rich who lend and the poor who borrow and sink into debt. And then the Sabbath of all Sabbath will be Jubilee. The horn will blow, and again debts will be forgiven, slaves will be free. But on this day, if anyone has lost their land, the Hebrew is nahala, meaning land loaned to you in perpetuity that is owned by God. Is that anti-American? I'm just thinking. This was a year of Jubilee. And again, that promise and that guarantee that this will be a society that will not be like Egypt. And the response of the people will be festivals and worship and sacred meals, retelling the story on Thanksgiving and saying over and over and over the great Shema. Hear, O Israel, Yahweh your God is one God, and you shall love Yahweh your God with all your heart, your soul, and with all your strength. This covenant gift has a name given much later by Jesus: abundant life. Only God is the leader. Before God, all are equal. There will be no rich and powerful, oppressor and oppressed. And you will be a light to the nations. And the nations will come and they will say, teach us the way of your God. This is abundant life.
We cannot own the sunlit sky, the moon, the wildflowers growing, for we are part of all that is within life's river flowing. With open hands, receive and share the gifts of God's creation.
I'd like to share one comment about the covenant word. In Paul D. Hansen's book on the Bible as community, where he is a survey of the whole Bible, he explains to us, by the way, he teaches Old Testament at Harvard Divinity and has been to Holden several times, but he explains that in all of these covenant laws that we have in the Old Testament, the part we probably seldom read, that you can find two kinds of laws or ways of life. One that comes from the wilderness. He calls this the Yahweh's tradition that goes back to the wilderness. And those are the types of that I shared this morning. And then we have this very, very harsh harsh laws, for example, adultery and immediate stoning, that he has found that these would have come from the cities around them and the countries around them when they settled, when they realized we have to really get the rules down. And so that then those two parts become what we call the law in the Hebrew Bible. And I'm always kind of walking around, so if you have questions about any of this stuff, Just stop me, and Marty will sing you a song. Okay. Well, abundant life, that is a gift. After many, many years of the wilderness school, and after failing many examinations, God's partner people are ready for graduation. Graduation happens as they approach the boundary, the Jordan River. And God's heart is glad, dreaming of the possibilities of all the people on earth learning the manna way, the way of mercy and peace. There is hope. And Yahweh says, my dream will come true. My dream will come true. And at the boundary, looking across the Jordan to the land, Moses steps up to the podium. And this next part is really corny. He steps up to the podium. Yeah. There. And gives the graduation address. Dear graduates of the Wilderness School, and my beloved associates, Miriam and Aaron, who join me in wishing you all well. Now go forth to the highways and the byways of your new life, and do not follow the paths that others have made. Go where there is no path, and there make a trail. Point your head to the stars. Put your nose on the grindstone. And keep your feet on the ground, and you'll really look funny. And now go forth with courage, and never forget how Yahweh your God delivered you from the Pharaoh, sustained you with manna in the wilderness, and made covenant with you. And remember, it was not because you were some big, important nation that did everything right that I set my heart on you, says the Lord God. It was because Yahweh loved you. And Yahweh made a promise to Abraham and Sarah that descendants would be blessed and will be a blessing to all people. And so I say to you today, as you prepare to enter the land, choose ye the way of life, and not the way of death. Follow the way of righteousness and mercy, and you will bring blessing to yourselves. But if you do not, you will bring sadness and curse to yourselves and to your society. Go forth, my people. Trust me. Trust me as the Lord your God, your lover, your partner. Follow my way and my way alone. And then all of the people stood. And they started to whistle. And they went to their work whistling a merry tune. Go, my graduates, in peace, and whistle to your place of work. And the people said, amen. Thank you.
You have a whole different...